This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
The clip, you want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, Michael. Game 3 last night between the New York Knicks and the San Antonio Spurs resulted in a Spurs win. I called that. You're welcome, everyone. We were discussing the potential distraction and what it was going to cause the surrounding areas to be like ahead of the game with the first ever sitting president to go to an NBA Finals game. And it turned out to not really might be that, at least from what I heard, not that big of a deal. I think a lot of people were stunned, though. I think, and I'm not getting political, Mike, but I think there is a perception that maybe the NBA and President Donald Trump perhaps don't see eye to eye. Is that a fair assessment? The players maybe in the NBA over the years have not. We've heard from popular players over the years, coming from all over the world, talk not great about the president. Is that fair?
I mean, it's always the loudest ones are the most vocal. So
that makes sense.
It's possible. It's possible they are all like that, or it's possible that
just the loud
it's
ones.
Half and half.
Sure.
I don't know.
So I think there was a lot of surprise when Adam Silver was joining the broadcast crew with Ernie and company, and here's what he had to say about President Trump and his basketball support, his fandom.
And Trump, you know, I've been with the league for a long time. I ran NBA Entertainment years ago. He did an I Love Gets Game spot with us. He was a fixture at NBA at Madison Square Garden. You guys remember, well, all of you, when you played here, not Draymond, but back in the old days, he had courtside seats. He was here all the time. He was at draft. So he's a genuine Knicks fan. And so, yes, there's some inconvenience to the fans here, but one looking around this arena, it's packed. So people listen. They came early. They got through whatever extra security, which is necessary. So, as I said, I think we should be using sports to create more of a sense of community with people, not less.
We know you're a New Yorker, 55 years.
All right. I don't really disagree or agree with anything Silver said, but I did like what he said at the end. Using sports as a way to bring people together rather than being so divisive. That was like one of the better things I've heard come out of Adam Silver's mouth, aside from how he handled the Donald Sterling stuff with the Clippers ownership. So I thought that was interesting. But then I caught that one too. It just drives me absolutely insane. Silver sidestepped again on the flopping question when the pregame guys asked him about it. Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand why he continues to go that route. But
country's unified about that.
I thought it was, now that we're done with it, because he's not going to go to game 4. I just read a ESPN report that says he's not going to go to game 4. He's got a scheduling conflict and all that. But Mike, as much as you and I were both kind of against the whole idea because of what it was causing, doesn't sound like it was really much of anything. People got through.
That's a good thing.
People were pumped up for the game. The crowd was good. They were into it.
I think if he was sitting on the floor, that would have been more of an issue.
Would have been a distraction, probably, or would have been strange, for sure. But it wasn't. It wasn't that bad. And he, I don't know, I didn't catch the initial question about it, but there were questions, and we even asked, like, is he really even a basketball fan? And apparently he is. So, hands up, I didn't know that he had attended so many games over the years to go to the Knicks. I knew he's from New York, but he's a Knicks fan.
I only knew the New York aspect.
Yeah, just that part
like,
of it.
Like Obama's lived in Chicago for so long. Of course he's going to root for the Bulls.
Now, President Trump was asked about Stephen A's comments about him. And, of course, you have an opportunity to take the high road there. That's not his style. Instead, he says he goes right into... He's a nice guy, but he doesn't have the right IQ to be president. I'm like, that wasn't even the question. The question was not, do you think Stephen A. could be a president? It was, what are your thoughts on what he had to say about you and not being a good idea to come to this game tonight? So, I mean, just answer the question. He was on the right track, and then he got off the track, and then it became an IQ thing, and so that was fun. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Yes, Michael.
Well, I just wish that he would be more the type of person that would answer questions. He's too like Dr. Death. That guy, he looks like some kind of alien, or maybe he should like walk around in a robe and have a sickle and
Adam
and
Silver?
Take dead people.
You're just being mean. Why are you just being mean? Why? That was a mean thing.
I wouldn't say mean
Make
things.
Make fun of him because of
him
the
better.
Things he says, not because of how he looks. That's what I'm about here.
He also does kind of look like really creepy.
He does have an interesting look. I'll give you that. He has an interesting look. But last night's game, I thought it lived up to the hype. It lived up to the expectations.
And you were right. So that's
obviously
even better.
Yeah. Wimby's incredible. And I don't even think... I mean, he had 32 points, Mike, and it was just kind of like 32 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 block or 3 blocks, a couple steals. I mean, he's at that point now, man, where you look at 32 points and you still... Like, even in like their last loss, he had 30. He is a ridiculous player.
Better than Jokic?
Right now... No. Not right now.
Is the Nuggets hat off?
Yeah, Nuggets hat off. I'm being real. Will he be? Yeah. I can't go there yet. Now, if he wins the title, he's got as many titles as Joker. And he's, what is he, 20-something? How old is he? He's very young. He's 22 years old. He's going to have multiple titles, Mike.
Not if the Nuggets have anything to say about it.
I don't even know what to do. Now if they get Peyton Watson. I don't even know if that should be the... I don't even know if that should be the number one priority for the Nuggets. I don't know. I'm torn because Christian Brown, that contract, he was supposed to be the next big thing. And I mean, he wasn't good last year. And they just signed him to that contract.
Curse of the contract.
Well, some people live up to it. Joker seemed to do fine every time he signed a contract.
But a lot of times, they're not Von Miller.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point.
I still want Von Miller in Denver, though.
Or do we want to clear the way for Jonah Ellis to just take over? If again, the Cooper stuff, based on the information we got yesterday, Mike, I said this, if you're like... in the camp of wanting Jonathan Cooper to be okay, the fact that his lawyer, Harvey Steinberg, right? The fact that his lawyer is like, no, we don't want to dismiss this. We want this to be heard. I would say it bodes well for his version of the story. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes.
I think he's going to be. Now, the NFL can override anything that a court decides, Michael.
Because, you know, they have a collective bargaining agreement.
And
there's a lot of power up at the top. Yeah.
See, that's crazy, right? The NFL, you can actually get let off of anything legally. And the NFL can still come in and say, yeah, no, you were involved in it, though. And they do, because of past experiences, the NFL does take domestic disputes and violence fairly seriously now. And so
After Ray Rice.
They tend to throw the book at you. Even if you're just involved in a mutual domestic thing and it's not... Now, her version, he's screwed. If her version is true, he's... I mean, we could be talking about a year.
I mean, the whole biting the phone situation just sounds really weird.
Yeah. Her version is that he grabbed her by the neck and slammed her up against the wall, started punching the wall, and then slammed her down on the ground several times. But according to people on site that were investigating this, she didn't have the markings on her body that would lead you to believe she was beaten that or hurt that way by a professional football player whose job is to bust through giant defensive linemen and tackle quarterbacks.
Yeah, and do that to some quarterbacks.
Yeah.
If
her version is true, what's the minimum? A year?
The minimum I know of is 4 weeks. So he could...
But isn't it as violent as
Ray Rice's sister.
Yeah, but slamming her up against the wall and slamming her down on the ground several times.
Do they have video evidence?
There's no video evidence.
They don't have the video evidence, so they would probably go 4 weeks.
Okay, so you're thinking if her version's true, 4 weeks. If his version's true, 2 games?
No.
None?
If his version's true, the NFL investigates and goes, we think this was either a false report or an exaggerated report.
She has markings on. There are scratches on her arm.
Yeah, that could be a week or two.
Yeah.
But I don't think the NFL wants to... I don't want to make any speculations, but say that he did those scratches, that's... the NFL would probably do 4 weeks, because I think 4 weeks is the minimum.
Said he used... His version is he used his neck to brace... He braced his neck against hers to keep her from getting the phone. I'm still having a hard time picturing that. His version, there's a chance he doesn't get any games. But there's in my mind, there's still a chance he gets something because the NFL does not like the D word, the domestic violence, even a breath of it. And that's what they were arrested for, both of them. Both of them spent the night in jail.
The fact that it's both of them, I think, bodes well for him.
It does. Unless her story is true, which if you go off of the facts that we have, the fact that Harvey Steinberg, like Cooper's lawyer, is saying we want this to be heard in front of a jury, that really leads me to believe his story is probably the true version or closer to it than hers. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. But yeah, Jonah Ellis is going to be... expected to, whether Cooper's full go or not, it's time to see what Jonah Ellis is made of, man. It's time to see what he's got.
Maybe this time he'll swallow the fish. It's a biblical joke.
Mm-hmm. Just not good.
I know, it was bad about it. But I tried to take advantage of the situation, pretend that maybe the quarterbacks were fishes. And he was like,
it's just not good, man.
I apologize for that one.
Yeah, even for you, that's bad.
Yeah.
You do
a
lot of bad ones. Most of them are.
No, most of them are great. This one was subpar.
No, it was really just awful.
Scale of one of my usual 10, this was probably a 4.
If 10's your best, the best, you're usually flirting with 2, 3 maybe.
No, if 10 is the best, I'm an 11.
You're at -8. Faith, but what if we're biting phones versus throwing it to break it is concerning?
Biting phone is worse.
And he bit her phone, right?
Yeah, if he bit her phone, if that is true, then that just sounds crazy. Sounds like a crazy person. Like anyone can throw a phone. I'm mad at my phone. It's frozen. It's not working. Toss. But
to bite it.
Biting the phone is just, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a couple games.
I'm hoping for the best.
I'm hoping that they
both get along for the rest of their lives.
They're trying to get this done in July so that he can be a full go for training camp and such. But we'll see, man. Again, it got a little... When you first heard the story, it was like, uh-oh. And then you read it, the first affidavit piece of it, and you're like, maybe it's a mutual thing and they were just having a... spat and their necks touched each other and he bit a phone. And then it turned into, her version's really bad. Her version's really bad. Her version's Ray Rice territory. Didn't knock her unconscious, but maybe could have. His version, not necessarily so bad.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate that we automatically, when we hear these stories, we automatically go, oh, great, my guy's going to be suspended. Because you've had too many athletes.
Well, Broncos have had a few of these now that have gotten into some issues. Faye says, yeah, I'm saying the biting of the phone causes for concern, like, are we stable? Yeah, that's also something you have to think about. Travis, the new guy, Michael, would have to tell 10 jokes to get to a 10. Yeah.
Well, that's because apparently one of my jokes is a negative 8. So I need
well,
to
last
have
one,
a negative
that
8.
Last Jonah
I need
Ellis
to average
one.
It up.
The last
so
Jonah
I'll
one
get
was a negative 8.
A couple
8.
Of my 11s, my I'll tell. I can't do math.
Mm-mm.
I'm not in school anymore. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I can only do sports math. I can multiply by sevens.
Sorry, Michael. That was thorough good, bad. That's what he says. Yeah.
I used to have a sound clip for that, but I don't.
Oh, you should probably find it again for as much crap as you throw out on this show. 21 minutes after the hour. Collective bargaining in college sports. Is that where we're headed next? Also, some thoughts on Peyton Watson. To avoid going into the second apron, you would have to trade either Jamal Murray or Aaron Gordon or Cam Johnson. One of those guys would have to be traded. If you can find a suitor for Cam Johnson, which we also heard rumors that maybe they're going to trade Christian Brown too. But it's not just about retaining Peyton Watson. It's about being better. And if you trade Jamal to keep Watson, let me ask the question. Who's better today, Jamal Murray or Peyton Watson? The answer is obvious, and we'll get to that coming up next, 21 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The beards are growing.
Growing, we do it every day.
When will the Rockies win 30? Track the Dirty 30 with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
You guys have heard me tell you a lot about Ryan Hicks over the years. Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. Renaissance Insurance Group, they are a fiercely independent insurance brokerage. They have a regional presence, extensive national resources, and a passion for developing advantageous insurance solutions for their clients. So when you see like a regional presence but national resources, that's the best of both worlds. They have the power to help you out, but they're doing it on the local scale throughout Northern Colorado. Give Ryan a call for farming operations, workers' compensation, personal insurance needs for a lot of our hooligans out there. Call 970-674-8825 or visit team-rig.com. So for the Nuggets, Michael, is it just a top priority, foregone conclusion that the Nuggets need to move their roster around in order to make room for Peyton Watson? I think you got to be careful here. You got to be careful. Watson in his career is averaging 8.7 points per game. Now, when the injury bug bit the Nuggets roster this year, Watson stepped up in a very big way. Ended up averaging in that season, clearly, you know, 6 points above his high, 14.6 points per game, about 5 boards per game, 2 assists per game. His three-point percentage, 41. The scale you have to weigh here is, do you really believe his upside is that 14, not 14.6, but probably in the 20s? And do you really think, you know, again, if you don't want to approach the second apron, which I don't know that they're interested in doing that. But if you're telling me you got to move Jamal Murray's contract or Aaron Gordon's, that's going to be a tough sell. I know Aaron Gordon's battled injuries, but he's Mr. Freaking Nugget. And when healthy, he's better than Peyton Watson.
Can he stay healthy?
It's a big question. I mean, ask J.K. Dobbins that question. I mean, if J.K. Dobbins stays healthy, the Broncos, even without Bo Nix, might win a Super Bowl. They might. I mean, it's a small might, but it's a might. I think all mites are small. But J.K. Dobbins is kind of like that Aaron Gordon. Gordon has won a championship, and he's proven that he can stay healthy more seasons than, of course, what J.K. can do. But that's the territory we're talking about with Gordon. When J.K. Dobbins is on the field for the Broncos, I mean, he was their best player, Mike. J.K. Dobbins was their best player before he got hurt on offense.
I mean, yeah, when they handed him the ball.
Yeah, if Sean Payton could get out of his own way and hand him the ball. Aaron Gordon, when healthy, I still say is number three on this team. Jamal Murray, there's no question. Who's better, Jamal Murray or Peyton Watson? Jamal Murray is better. He fits better with Joker. He's coming off his best season. Now, he disappeared in the playoffs. And I don't know. Again, this team just proved, as deep as we thought they might be in the offseason, it did not prove to be the case, mainly because of injuries, but just kind of the way everything was operated last year. I think it's a tough spot for the Nuggets to be in. They want Peyton Watson. If they could do it again, they would have not signed Christian Brown, and they would have just signed Peyton Watson, and we wouldn't have an issue. And then Brown would be moving on, and you'd say, thank you for your service, and bye-bye. But that's not how it went down. They chose to commit at the time, and at least today, they chose the wrong guy. Now, are you done with Christian Brown? Are you giving up on Aaron Gordon with the health thing? Are you worried that Jamal Murray, maybe that was his ceiling? He was just a really good, I mean, this was his best regular season, and yet he's always kind of been known for turning it on in the playoffs. It was kind of the opposite effect this year. It was really good regular season, all-star regular season, and for the most part, disappeared in that first round. That's the tough part about getting eliminated in the first round. You don't have as many games. You don't have as many chances to prove that, hey, I'm not disappearing. You had one series, and in that one series, Jamal Murray was more average than good. And Gordon, we barely saw. And when we did see it, we were like, he shouldn't be out there. He's too hurt. So, I don't know. The idea of moving off of now all-NBA player Jamal Murray, third team, or Aaron Gordon is tough for a guy that probably looked really good. Peyton Watson looked really good for about, I don't know, a month? Maybe more. Maybe I'm being a little too critical here. I mean, in November, he was averaging about 8 points per game. In December, he was... Oh, no, excuse me. In November, his average was up higher than that. It was like 13. And then you go to December, and he had some really good games. He was probably averaging, probably November and December, he was averaging around 13 or 14. And then you saw him really ramp it up in February. He had a hell of a month. And then he got hurt. I mean, he turned it on. He got better literally every month as the season progressed. November was good. December was better. And then January, very good. I mean, he had a couple of 30-point games in there. Most games, he was above 22 points per game. Those were numbers you were begging to see Jamal Murray do on an average night. on a nightly basis. Same for Michael Porter Jr. So am I getting February version of Peyton Watson, or am I getting, you know, early November version of Peyton Watson? Where would you go? So I'm telling you, I'm asking you. You have a player that showed potential, that got better throughout the season. He's 23 years old. Is his ceiling greater than what Jamal Murray is right now? Not Jamal's ceiling, but are you willing to risk a Jamal Murray, an Aaron Gordon? And again, you could risk Cam Johnson. But if you trade Cam Johnson, you're going to get an equal player back that's not probably like as expensive, but you're going to get a player back that's about like Cam Johnson. You just find a guy that hasn't signed that contract extension yet, and you get him for less. Well, does that make you better? Because if you trade Cam and you just do a swap, then did you really get better, or did you just retain Peyton Watson? And that is you as an organization saying, we think Peyton Watson's the missing link, and he's the difference between us going deep into the playoffs.
Just have to surround Jokic with players who can play with Jokic and play better with Jokic. That's the only question you should be asking. Can this person play better with Jokic compared to this other person?
Jamal Murray has always been the Robin, right? He's always been the 1-2 with those two, with Joker and Murray. So when you're trading Jamal, if you trade Jamal, you're also trading away what your philosophy has been over the years, and that philosophy did win you a championship. Is that philosophy found out? Is that strategy too difficult now? Did you rely too much on that two-man game between Jamal and Joker? And does it feel like this is more of a spread out roster, spread out starting unit if Jamal's not on the team? I mean, I'm watching Jalen Brunson play last night, and he was good. I know he got some criticism, but Jalen Brunson's a hell of a player. He had 32 points last night, and people are like, eh. He's a hell of a player. Can Murray take over a game like Jalen Brunson? These great point guards we see in the league. That's tough, because I'm not ready to say. I'm so back and forth on Jamal, it's ridiculous. I still don't think he's even come close to reaching that potential that I thought he would, but he's still pretty good. Now, is he like a De'Aaron Fox? De'Aaron Fox didn't affect the game points-wise much last night, but he affected it in so many different ways. Good passer. But I just don't know if Jamal will ever be that guy. And if you really believe in Peyton Watson taking the next step, staying healthy, then you got to trade a big name, Jamal or Gordon, to yield another big name that would help this team. Because it's not just about retaining Peyton Watson to me. He's not the missing link. Healthy Peyton Watson, go ahead and insert him into that series. They probably still lose. Let's keep in mind, they lost that final game of the series when Minnesota had a lot of backups in, and they still lost. So inserting Peyton Watson, to me, he's not that player yet. Could he be? Those are questions you have to really dig in and ask yourself. When you just came off of making a mistake with Christian Brown, potentially at least for 1 year. And again, same thing for Brown. Can you trade Christian Brown? Sure. You're going to have to get somebody who's confident in his ceiling that will take on his contract. But then the whole reason you're trading him is to get an equal player but less money. And that's hard to sell for teams. Like, why would I have Christian Brown? I have that guy. But I don't want to pay him what you guys signed him for. The only moves that make sense to A, retain Watson, and B, get another decent piece to add would be Jamal Murray or Aaron Gordon. There's probably teams that are playoff teams that are looking to go to that next step. They want to get stronger in the point guard game. They maybe want to get stronger with a better power forward. But then I ask the question, if I'm another team looking at these guys, Aaron Gordon became a bigger name when he joined with Joker. Jamal Murray's only ever known Joker in the NBA. How are those guys without him now? I mean, Gordon was really good with Orlando. He was borderline star. He wasn't quite star, but he was borderline. Then he changed his role, came to Denver. He actually became a better overall player, just not as popular because it wasn't his show. He was like third. I just don't know that I'm ready to move on from those two guys yet. And I think I was right after the Nuggets got bounced in the first round, but that's what happens. Time heals some wounds, not necessarily, but you look at things differently and you try to assess, are the Nuggets better off? If they, again, yeah, easy answer, go trade Jamal Murray and get a guy like, go get Jalen Brunson. That's not possible. You're not going to go get a point guard that's better than Jamal Murray for a straight up trade with Jamal Murray.
Unless the NBA team makes a lot of stupid decisions.
Yeah, and I don't see people moving off of elite point guards. Trading Cameron Johnson, you owe him, he's going to be, you know, $23.1 million. But I just don't know if, I mean, what are you getting for Cam? Are you just moving a contract for a player or two that's lesser, and then they don't even really contribute? But you just made room for Peyton Watson. Is that truly priority number one? Kroenke said as much, Mike, when he was like, hey, we very well could move some things around, or, you know, we could very well run it back. There's so many routes Denver can go here, not in a positive way. It's not like, oh, man, whatever they do, they're just going to get better. That's not where we are with Denver. They have to press the right button in order to be back into the contender conversation. And that could be Peyton Watson. Or it could be saying farewell and just hoping Christian Brown bounces back and has a better year and no injuries. And Aaron Gordon the same way. It's confusing. It's tough. You're in a very difficult spot. And that's what happens when you have injuries, aging stars, and you chose the wrong young guy to give the contract to. 41 minutes after the hour. Michael, when we come back, we'll kind of wrap up today's thoughts on, you know, the latest with our chat with Mark Johnson. Collusion now could be something that is in the air with conferences, with, you know, Big 10, Big 12. But I think they could find a way around that. I really do. If they decide to boycott playing Texas Tech in the near future. And that counts for all sports, too. Might not just be football. 41 after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Oh, boy, Mike. This Brendan Sorsby story certainly has us all bent out of shape, and rightfully so. It's one of the worst things I've seen in college sports in a while. With all the weird stuff going on, it's definitely got to be up there. Like I said yesterday, it was a historic day. Historically bad. For college sports.
Yeah, we're all pretty. I was going to make a pun, but I screwed it up. Damn it.
There you go. Back to
that's
negative.
That's the negative eight.
There's a negative eight for you, Mike.
Look, this is going to change a lot of things. Hopefully, conferences can stand up to this situation.
So what Mark was talking about with us in the second hour of the show today, if you missed that, go check out our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, 1310kfk.com. He's very fired up. He did talk about the idea, because Fernando Lova, the athletic director for the Buffs, was on a plane with Mark. And he's like, hey, there's a report saying the Big 12's already decided they're not going to play Texas Tech. And that's not true. It's not. You got it right there. Mark's sitting right there with Fernando Lova. They haven't decided that. Now, are they going to meet and discuss things? Sure. But Mark brought up the collusion aspect. Collusion is... If you sit down in a room with all the athletic directors in the Big 12 and you all agree on a united front to boycott Texas Tech, that's collusion. Kind of like when the NFL allegedly, which they found out they didn't, they thought, you know, they were being accused of all the owners getting together, basically colluding against guys like Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, you know, after the Deshaun Watson contract. But it was close.
I mean, yeah.
They weren't quite there,
but it's
close. There's a
difference between sitting down at a restaurant and going, nah, I don't want to pay this guy that much money. No, I don't want to do it either.
Yeah,
that's like, not real collusion.
You can still, like, if Georgia's posting that they're never going to schedule, and if Nebraska's posting, hey, we're not going to schedule Texas Tech, it could be a simple matter of the Big 12 just going,
okay, we're going to follow these guys.
We'll just do what they're doing. And that's not really collusion. It's not collusion.
It has to be one university at a time. But the proof of collusion is going to come with emails and phone calls and everything that
they got to be very careful. I still think this is the right route, though. And I know Texas Tech, why are they being punished? What did they do wrong? Well, they didn't necessarily do anything wrong. However, Texas Tech did appeal to the NCAA to have quarterback Brendan Sorsby's eligibility reinstated, and it was denied. And then the judge overruled that, saying, no, he can play. So Texas Tech did fight for their guy. Now, they didn't want to get sued.
I mean, if I was them, I would do it too.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, even though you might say Texas Tech is not the bad guy in all this, you got to make an example of Brendan Sorsby, and the team he happens to play for is Texas Tech. That's tough. It's tough. 49 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick here, and when we come back, we'll get to what did we learn on today's edition of The Hull Show.
The Rockies are better. Hear Rockies games and coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, Michael, what do we learn today on this ninth day of June? We did learn that collusion is something to consider. I think they could skirt it, but Mark brought that up. Fun interview with Mark.
I mean, you're going to have to collude to make collusion.
To not collude. Let's
you're
collude.
Have to keep a lot of like off-topic second cell phone communication.
Let's collude and not collude. Also learn that you gotta be very careful if you think it's Peyton Watson that is the missing link. Because watching the Spurs, watching the Thunder, watching the Knicks, I don't look at that and go, man, if the Nuggets with Peyton Watson healthy, yeah, they could take those guys. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe Watson is that guy. Maybe he is. That's a tough one. What'd you learn today, Mike?
Well, I learned that if there is collusion in this Brendan Sorsby case, CU's not involved because they didn't know about it when it first
came
out.
True. Yeah. There you go. Mark said it on the air. Fernando Lobo's like, no, we're not meeting. That's news to me. We haven't discussed anything like that.
And it's going to have to be someone outside the Big 12.
Well, like Georgia.
Does it first.
And Nebraska. They're already doing it. So we'll see. All right, Mike, we'll be back at it on a Wednesday. We'll have Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post, Sean Keeler. He's high on J.K. Dobbins being healthy, or is he concerned? We'll get to that. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.